We're up to Perek Bet, Alacha Aleph, and Nachum Alacha, look at that. So, Kavod Gadol Noagin B'melech. We treat the king with great honor. Masimen lo ema v'yira b'lev kol adam. We put fear in the hearts of everyone. Shnei Amar Som Tasim Alecha Melech. The Pasuk says, you shall surely place upon you a king. Which Chazal Darshin Shtehe Imato Alech on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Kiddushin, and the Gemara in, as we'll see, the Gemara assumes that you also can't be mochel on. Now, what does it mean? Right. So we have this by king. Right. The Gemara brings it up in Sanhedrin in the second parak in the context of the Dine Melech, and in the first parak of Kiddushin in the Dine Kavod, where you have where the Gemara ends up paskening that a parent and a Rav and a Nasi can all be mochel in their kavod, can all wave their kavod, but a king cannot, as we will see. No, that's it. La halacha, that's it. Ein rochvin al suso. Now, what does kavod mean? So, in the first halacha, he says, you can't ride on his horse, ven yoshvin al kiso, or sit on his chair, his throne. Yeah, don't do that. Ve'ein mishtamshin v'sharvito, and you can't use his scepter. Lobi Kitro, or his crown. Lobi Achad Mikal Klei Tashmisha, or any of his stuff. Ukshumet Kulam Nisrafin Lefanav. And when he dies, they are all burnt. Despite the fact that you might have thought, what would that violate? Bal Tashchet? No, you don't burn his Sefer Torah. But you burn his stuff. Shumet Kulam Nisrafin Lefanav. Echein Lo Yishtamish Bavadav Shiv Chodav Vishamadav Elo Melech Acher. And his... only another king can use his servants and his maidservants. Lefichach Avishag hayta mutaret leShlomo v'asura leAdoniah. And that's why Avishag was permitted for Shlomo and not for Adoniah. Now, if you remember the story in Tanakh, so David was cold and they didn't have any way of warming him up. Blankets didn't help. So instead, they decided to get a human being to cuddle with him and warm him up, which was Avishag HaShunamit. As the psukim say, he didn't sleep with her. Now, based on this, you see the Rambam is taking the position that she wasn't really his wife. She was more.
She was a maidservant.
Yeah, right. She was a caretaker. She was a maidservant, and therefore, and that's what the Radba said explicitly, right? Which is why isn't Avishag in the category of wife? So the Radba just says Shaharei Melech Lo Yida V'Cheni Katuv, because the pasuk said he never slept with her, and therefore, even if she was technically a Pilagish or something like that, it doesn't have that status. Now, when the Gemara says you burn his stuff, there are two things you have to avoid. One is Bal Tashchet. It's not, because that's what you're supposed to do. The other is Darkei Amori, and it's also not considered Darkei Amori. It's actually considered because they did it. But apparently, no, this is, right now, this discussion is in Sanhedrin, on Daf Nun Bet, and in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. We did this, I think. Yeah, we did this when I taught, that was my first year in Migdal. We did Avodah Zarah. Now, the Kesef Mishnah says, now, by everything, as Evan already said, everything, no, not everything, says, it's clear it's not everything. Why is it not everything? And he says, and there are other things that we're going to see. The horse. The horse we don't burn, we hamstring it.
How is that not for human beings?
That's the point. Tzar b'chaim is not usher unless it's for no purpose, but here it's for a purpose. The Kesef Mishnah further notes that, yeah, it's not like the Rambam made this up, right? He gets it from the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Bet, that Avishag muteret l'shlomo, v'asur l'adoniyah, muteret l'shlomo, d'melech hayo, u'melech mishtamesh b'sharvito shamelech, klomar, shelo baal David et Avishag, v'or sham b'gemara, v'asur l'adoniyah, d'hed yadu, v'chevin d'ashag lo hayo l'david, torat ishut ba, or muteret l'shlomo, shem hayo bashum torat ishut, asur hayo lo. He says, and if, because if Avishag actually slept with David, so as we're going to see, the wife of a king can't even marry another king, and Kal v'chomer in this case where you can't marry your father's wife, that's usher. Right? So it's clear.
Because he slept with her, it doesn't make her his wife.
Well, it would be Pilegesh, and as we'll see. So Imishun the Melech of Ishto Asur, Afilu Melech Acher, and he says, if they were wives, so he says, if they were wives, doesn't matter. You can't, even another king can't sleep with, can't marry the wife of another king. Now, The Or Sameach here says Hamishna Rabbeinu Biperish Hamishna Rabbeinu Nira Ki Hu Evi Sober the Hadam Rav Yishak Mutar L'Shlomo Mishum Da Loch Rabbi Yehuda. Damer Melech Knows Hamenuto Shal Melech. Now, interestingly, he says the Or Sameach notes that this actually is only one shita, but the Rambam himself in the Beinu Shnayim takes a different position because the Gemara has a machloket. Rabbi Yehuda says that Melech Knows Hamenuto Shal Melech. There's a machlok in the Gemara. Can a king marry the wife of another king, the widow of another king? So, in the Pirush Mishnayot, the Rambam assumes that he can, and therefore, the fact that Shlomo could marry Avishag is not because she was a Misharetet. She might have been a wife, and it's still Mutter.
Well, if it was a wife, then it would be us.
And he says, V'lochein, but it's Pilegesh. Maybe Pilegesh. V'lochein, Father, Tamon, Gerb Yehuda. And he says, so it must be that in the Mishnah, he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, she was more than a Misharetet. She was a Pilegesh or something, but still Mutter to Shlomo. Aval kan bezignuto shana la Rebbe. Dila olam in the Shemishah, she was a Shemelech, Mutter to Melech Achel, Vizit Avishah Shlomo, Nasa, Ota, Ota, Aita, Mutter to Shlomo. But in his later years, the Rambam changed his mind. And paskin that Avishag was just a misharetet, and that's why his mutter aval ishur shemelach li nosel melach achar asura. But he paskins any wife would be asur. Lachen kadat ishur shemelach ena nivel melach acher vimi pilegesh. So now you'll say, but what if she was a pilegesh? Nira v'divra rabbeinu v'chlal shavito shemelach ave v'uklai klazer rabbeinu v'chlal ishur shemelach. So he says, well, maybe she's a pilegesh, and what's the question? So what is a pilegesh? Does it go in the category of isha, or Sharvito Shamelech and everything else? He says maybe that's part of the ambiguity here. Is that maybe she was a Pilegesh, but the question is what's true of Isha, true of Pilegesh, or is Pilegesh more like Shivcha and Misharet and the like? And then he says, in Yerushalmi, the first time, Yehuda, Mishum, Shinazah David Ritzba Baraya, Avogav, the Pilegesh Shalav, Mishum, Yerushalmi, Ktubah, Amri Yehuda, Gufi, the Pilegesh, Idla Ktubah, Raktanai Ktubah Litla. Because again, the kiddushin itlav avi ishtum mishum zelan chich Yerushalmi the nasa David ritzva baraya the mutar adam chamed Yerushalmi. Now the Yerushalmi, he notes, paskins that a king can marry the widow of another king. How? Because David married ritzva baraya, who was a pilegesh Shaul. So now you'll tell me that doesn't prove anything. Maybe that only proves that he can marry the pilegesh. He says no, because the Yerushalmi as a shita. This is a very important sheet in the Yerushalmi, that according to Yerushalmi, in the fifth paragraph of Ketubot, there's two deot. But one of the deot, namely that of Rabbi Yehuda, is what is a Pilegesh? A Kiddush is a woman who is a full wife, minus Ketubot, meaning she had Kiddushin. Which means that according to the Yerushalmi, a Pilegesh is an Isha, is a full wife. And therefore, just without a Ketubot. But if that's the case, then Rizpa Baraya, who was a Pilegesh of Shaul, was the wife of Shaul. And if David's allowed to marry Rizpa Baraya, then within the conceptual framework of the Yerushalmi, it's clear that that proves that a king can marry the widow of another king. But that hangs on assuming what? On the Yerushalmi's assumptions, but it's the Yerushalmi. You don't have to assume the Yerushalmi's right. It's the Yerushalmi's assuming within the Yerushalmi. Just to understand the argument the Yerushalmi's making. He says, Mishum zeh, muchrach reino faris tam chadash, al dein chotzen l'ishto. Mishum de l'shtameish ba shetachlon min alom mitar melech acher v'im achiv melech mutter. V'chein mefarisham acher. But as we're going to see, we're going to have to explain chalitza differently, and you're going to see that the Rambam say, what about chalitza? Why can't you do chalitza? Chalitza isn't marriage; it's the cessation of marriage. He says, yeah, but you can't use a shoe. You can't use a shoe. That's what the Rambam's going to say. Why not yibum? Mishum de'enu cholitz. As we're going to see, the Rambam is going to say you can't do Yibum because you can't do Chalitza. And there's a link between Chalitza and Yibum, which we'll talk about. But he has a different reason. We're going to see, the Rambam is going to say that you can't do Chalitza because you can't use his shoe. You can't do Yibum because you can't do Yibum unless you can do Chalitza. For reasons we'll talk about, we're going to get there. Or Samaya's bringing it up now, so I'm just mentioning it now, but we'll see it more later. He says no. The reason is because Yibum needs Edim, and it's very not mechubad for there to be Edim in any way present for the intimate acts of the king. Obviously not there, but still to stand out the ichor room or something. That's not great with the king. Fine. Let's. That's the obvious question. So we'll, but you know, okay, yeah. Your question. Then I'll go to Rabinovich, and then yeah. Let me think about it. So the Pticha. These are really probably should have done this first. Rabinovich, as he always does, has wonderful introductions, especially to Prakim and units. So he says, "Perek Zeh Mukdash Kulo LeTeira Yachza Dadi Ben Melech La'am." The organizational principle of this parak is, so the first parak was the role of the king, his kedusha, his role, his obligations, his limitations. Now we're going to say this parak, he says, is about the relationship between the king and the people. And Shom Tasim Alech HaMelech, L'Kinogim Kavod HaMelech, Gadol HaMelech. This kavod comes from the awe that you owe him. So he says that's the first half of the perek. The second half of the perek is going to be, which the first half of the perek is what the people owe him. Second half of the perek is what he owes the people, that he has to be mechabed lomdei Torah. And we'll see what that is. He's not allowed to have too many kings, etc. Etc. Now, Rabinovich says just a few other halachot that are important to think about in this context are the following. So he says, first of all, the kavod of the melech, the fact that definitional, the relationship of kavod, so one is the fact that you owe him kavod, but there's more to it. He says, what other halacha shows that the fundamental relationship that we have with the king is one of kavod? You don't have to be by that. The fact that the bracha we say when we sing a king is... So if we see a non-Jewish king, it's Shenatan Mikvodolo Asar Vadam. And if we see Malchi Yisrael, you say Shenatan Mikvodolo Reyav. But both of them... And so there's all types of interesting... Does it apply to Jewish kings? That's of Israel. Does it apply to queens, non-Jewish queens? Does it apply to presidents? All types of fascinating psakim. Furthermore, the halacha, these both of these appear in Brachot. But this halacha in the Rambam appears in Avel, which is that you are allowed to run on graves to see a king. So that, as the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes, you even let it run on graves to see non-Jewish kings, so you'll understand the difference between the kavod that's given to the non-Jewish kings compared to what one day the Jewish kings will get. So again, understanding kavod of the king is a major point. That's point one. Rabinovich's next point is that, as I already mentioned, the Gemara in Kiddushin has a list of all the people you owe kavod to, parents and Rebbeim and Nasi and Melech. But by parents, there's a major difference by king, because by parents, how many chiyuvim are there? Kavod and Yira. But by a Melech, even the kavod is an expression of Yira. Right? So even some of the things that you're mamachabe them, so by parents, there's kavod and there's Yira. By king, even though some of the things that you do out of fear of the king look like kavod, they are expressions of fear, of awe. They're different. So, for example, he says, by parents, you feed them. Ma'achilu mashke. By a king, his servants do that. Right? Not everyone does it. His servants do it. Meaning, when they feed him, it's an expression of our master, the king. People don't just come and do that. And that money is paid for from taxes and things like that. Yeah. What? What do you mean? No, it's that kibbutz av aim cannot, your parents can't tell you not to do mitzvah. That not that kibbutz av aim is only about mitzvah. No. Now he notes in the Rambam Tanya Mishnayot, he makes this blurring of the lines very clear, because he says, "Shiye da'atenu alav shu b'tachlit hakavod v'hagdula v'haromimut shein l'ma'ala mimenu." We should have the honor that is the ultimate honor and greatness and romimut, like exaltedness, that there's nothing above ashtiyam alatam mimenu gdola mimalat navi mishanavim shemidaro, that you should view him as even greater than a navi.
Where are you reading?
In the Yad Pshuta. Right, which he's quoting from the Sefer HaMitzvot. Yeah, I skipped down a few lines. I'm not reading the whole thing through. I'm just making some of his points. Right, and he quotes several other proofs that the king comes before everybody. Now, he notes a second point, is that the Gemara in Zvachim, on Kuf Bet, says, Amar Rabbi Yanai, lo'olam te emat malchut alecha. You should always have the fear of king on you. Dechtiv, yeredu kaladecha eilei elai. V'ilu lidei lo kamar lei. Rabbi Yochanan me'hacha. V'yadah shemaitah le'yo. Jenez matna v'yaret lefnei achav. So he says, you see that there's two proofs. One is from Paro, and one is from Achav. What that shows is, A, that the honor due to a king, A, is not just for Jewish kings, it's not just for righteous kings. This is something that is inherent in their status as king. Then he quotes Kidarko, many, many sources to bolster this. Right, and he notes Melech Basar Vedamin Rochman also Soven Yoshman Al Kiso, that Shmot Rabba says that a king, you don't ride on his horse, you don't sit on his throne. Because Baruch Hu Oshit L'Shlomo Al Kiso, so Shlomo put him on his throne. Melech Basar Vedamin Yoshman Al Sharbito, because Baruch Hu Masar Sharbito L'Moshe, which of course assumes that Moshe is a king. Melech Basar Vedamin Lo Shnat Torah Shelo, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Atid L'Abisha Dara Shelo L'Melech HaMashiach. Now, this also shows a connection between God and the king, right? That the honor is because there's an assumption that God gave it. And he also notes that the specific sources for the Rambam go back all the way to the Tanoim, because in the Sifrei Zuta it says explicitly, and then it appears in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And Tosfot notes in Ketubot about Agrippas that he wasn't a worthy king, and still, right? So sometimes these obligations aren't even just a formal king. It's the people who are acting as kings.
Tosfot assumes that all them, or at least at the time of Agrippas, the Maccabees were not legitimate kings.
The Gemara assumes that.
I'm still a bit shaky on it.
Gemara assumes that. Let's see other points that are worth making. Right. So one is the Gemara calls when the Mishnah quotes it and the Tosefta quotes it and the Gemara quotes it of Sarfin Alav. The question is, what does Alav mean? That you burn his stuff Alav. So does that mean either? Does that mean like with him or because of him? So the Rambam seems to assume that Alav means like in proximity, right? That there is a geographic component to it. And now that Tosefta, as I mentioned, appears in the Bavli and Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. That's where it says it's not Darkei Emori. Now that comes to one of the major Sugyot of Darkei Emori and Chukot Akum in general, which is... Right, is something right not chukar akum because it makes sense. That's one possibility, right? That's the standard, or possibly if it has, you know, or does it depend on whether we learned it from them and it's a chok and we get it from the Torah? I can't go into all the sugya now, but that obviously is in the background here. And he said, okay, the prohibition of using his avadim is from the Yerushalmi. Let's just finish with the Avishag point. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Avishag muter l'shlomo avasur ledoniyah, muter l'shlomo de melechai, umelech mishamish visharvito shel melech. Vasur ledoniyah, the Hedyutu, right? So again, the simple pshat in the Bavli is that, like the Rambam, that she wasn't his wife because it says it's mutter because it's sharvito shamelech. It's like his scepter. However, later on in the Gemara, it implies not that way because the Gemara says, bore kamakashin gerushin, share David amelech etir lo liyached lo etir lo ligarish. Actually, no. It implies that she wasn't married, right? Because it says they didn't want him divorce one of his 18 wives. Instead, they just matered Yichud with his non-wife. So the simple pshat in the Bavli is that, yeah, like the Rambam says here, that Avishag is not his wife. Again, the Yerushalmi seems to imply not that way, but the Bavli, right, there's good reason to believe that the Rambam is in fact correct. But again, she might have been a Pilegesh, and then you have to figure out how Pilegesh would fit into this. And again, as the Or Samech did, he notes the contrast between the Rambam, the Perish Mishnah, and the Rambam here. The Rambam, the Perish Mishnah, Paskin like Yehuda, who says that a king can marry the Almana of a king, and the Chachamim say no, and clearly the Rambam here is Paskining like the Chachamim. And he quotes the Or Samech to that effect, as well as quoting the Yerushalmi, that seems to hold differently, but that's because of its unique position on the status of Pilegesh. Okay, let's stop there.